All right, welcome everyone to another Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening in Ireland, Scotland, and elsewhere in the EU and the world. I am being broadcast all over the world in Ireland, Scotland, Spain, and two stations here in America. Shake and Wake Radio, thanks to Annie Champagne, and PSN Radio, thanks to Angel Espino, and my radio station, People's Internet Radio. I'm Stephen Roberts, and this is Canceled the Cabal, as I mentioned. I do have a very special guest. I just met her recently, sent her a message. She is a daughter of someone who has been martyred in America as a freedom fighter. I have Shalice Lee Finnicum Huntley, daughter of Lavoy Finnicum. Her Instagram and Facebook page is One Cowboy's Daughter, and her father's website, One Cowboy Stand for Freedom. I want to welcome Shalice Lee Finnicum Huntley to the show. Welcome, Shalice.
Thank you.
I know a lot of people have followed your story and your father's story. I've caught a few videos on your Facebook. I haven't caught everything that you've ever done, but that would take quite a while. And if somebody wanted to go out and study what happened to your father, that would take quite a while too. But
it would.
Yeah. I don't really want to speculate on what the entire truth of the story is. I want to get it from you. I want to get from the beginning a little bit of background about your family maybe, and then the story that you want to get into.
Okay. I feel like I should start probably, I would say, 8-ish years before my dad was actually up in Oregon, before he was killed. We were raised, you know, love for country, God, family, and he taught us that. And there was a point where he got super huge into, like, prepping. He's a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and that's kind of a normal thing to, like, have food storage and different things. But my dad just got, like, super, super into it. He loved it. And then he started, you know, dabbling more into politics, and he's like, oh my gosh, this is bad, you know, crap's going to hit the fan. So then he started doing, you know, I would say prepping, not just in the food category, but in, like, health and guns and ammunition and, like, anything that he thought we might need that might not be available if, like, something happened. And then as, like, the time went on, he just started studying books after books after books. Like, literally, there's a chair in my house that's my dad's chair. Like, you can sit in it, but as soon as dad walks into the room, you get out of it. And under his chair was a stack of books always. There was at least like 5 to 10 books always under his chair. And he would read and study for hours. And some of these books were so dry. Like, I love history and I love to read. But I remember one of the books he had was this big, huge orange one. It was probably this thick. And the print was like that big.
What do you mean
and
by dry?
It was like the fall.
Can I ask you what you mean by dry?
Just a lot of just information and okay. Not so much of a storyline.
Okay.
Like, so if anyone's ever read The Rise and the Fall of the Third Reich, that was a big, thick orange book that just gives you the details, the history, what led up to it, what happened during it, what happened with the decline. And it's just tons of information and it's just so dry. I couldn't get into it very far, but my dad would just eat those books up. He read, you know, books on Mexico's government, German's government, our government, and he just started soaking it up. And
can I ask, what was there a distrust for government or authority or corporations?
He did not trust our government as far as he could, like, see it, and you can't see anything they're doing really. They hide everything. And I remember him starting to get really big into politics, probably like Bush's second term, Obama's first term, like right around there. And I remember My dad had voted for Bush, and he was like, oh, he's a great guy. And then when the presidential election came around, and there was, I think, like Mitt Romney was the Republican front runner, and then Obama was the Democratic one. Like, my dad was a huge, I think, Ron Paul fan. And I remember because my mom was a Romney fan at the time. We've been educated since then. But and there was always like this discussion back and forth between them, like, no, like, we don't want Obama to go into office. We must vote for Romney. And my dad's like, how can I in conscience vote for that man? You know, at least Ron Paul like has some of my views. And it was just back and forth. And of course, Obama got elected, and then he got elected again. And then my dad realized that George Bush wasn't as good as he thought he was.
Exactly.
He's actually a really bad guy.
Exactly. What do you think was the event that made him question government, question authority? Do you know what
I think
that
my
was?
Dad's always been a questioner his whole life. And he's never, like, he grew up on the Navajo reservation. He saw what the government was capable of, how their programs failed horribly. Well, like, he grew up around that.
Well,
he,
I don't think they actually failed. You know, I hear people saying that government is broken and the system is broken, but it's not actually broken. It's working the way they want it to for them.
Touche. Touche. Okay. I would definitely 100% agree with you, and so would my dad. So basically, I would say probably during Obama's administration, sometime right around then, is when it switched, and dad's like, this is not broken. They are purposely doing this. And I think one of the biggest turning points for him was when he read the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, that talked about like the Federal Reserve and what a monster it is.
Yep. I just had G. Edward Griffin on.
What?
I just had him on the show, yeah.
Oh, I would love to talk to him. My dad is the hugest fan of him.
Uh-huh.
My dad has bought that book so many times and lends it out to everyone and never gets it back, so he kept buying them at one point. And I think he's always had a distrust of them. But he finally shifted between just preparing to take care of him and his own to, I need to do something more for this country. Like, I don't think I can look God in the eye, look God in the eyes and say, you know, I am without guilt if I don't do more.
Sure. I mean, it's not even looking God in the eye. It's looking yourself in the eye.
That too. Yeah. Because when you start to learn about this country and what freedom really is, you realize it's your duty to get involved into politics. And I believe that it's purposely been made taboo.
Yes.
So that we don't.
Yeah.
But it's our duty.
Sure. You probably heard the old mantra, because I heard it forever. I'm 55. I think the saying goes, well, you know, you can't fight government. You can't fight City Hall. They say that purposefully because they don't want you to.
No, they don't want you to. And the more you learn, the more you realize that you've like coined these phrases or misinformed you or brainwashed you in public school to think all these things. Like, when I learned that the states were supposed to have more power than the federal government, my mind was like,
blown. Well, they still do.
Okay?
Yeah, they still do. It's just
the
states are just more and more giving away the power.
Yeah, they are for those packets of money that the government will give them.
Yeah.
Like, all of our states are on welfare problems. Like, they've got welfare problems. It's not even funny. But so what my dad decided to do was write a book. And that is where his book, I'll go get it, actually.
Sure, that's fine.
So this is where his Only by Blood and Suffering, Regain Lost Freedom, came from. He felt like if he could write a novel of, like, it's an EMP hits the United States and this family trying to come together and dealing with the government's alphabet agencies. But he felt like if he could do it in a fun way, that he could reach more people, because our society is brainwashed to be entertained. If it's not entertaining, we dismiss it. Not worth our time. If it's more than like a minute long, we dismiss it. Not worth our time. And so he wanted to educate people in an entertaining way, but in a way that would make them think and hopefully do something about it. And while he was writing, I think it's been so long. I think this came after the Bundy standoff in 2014. So when he found out about Clive and Bundy, he went down.
Yeah.
He's like, I've got to know what this is talking about. Because there was like a lot of whispers through all these channels. And my dad, I think, is about 2.5 hours from their actual ranch. So he's like, you know what? I'm going to go down and get the measure of this man. And he drove down, listened to Cliven, and was like, Cliven, don't let them take your cows. And I think Cliven told him to be there in the morning with his horse. And so my dad came back, got his horse, left purposely early enough in the morning that my youngest sister, Tian, was still sleeping, because Tian would have been there, and went down. And I remember calling my mom, trying to find my dad, because I had no idea about this whole Bundy thing. I had no idea. So I called, you know, just wanting to talk to my dad. And I was like, hey, Mom, where's Dad? She's like, she was frantic, because it was right when they had cut off, like, the cell phone, what do you call it? The signal, basically, so you could actually call out or
cell
do video.
Cell service.
Thank you. And they cut it out. And it was like right then that I called her, and she was just frantic because the last she had heard was, if you advance, we will shoot. And so my mom's like, oh my gosh, my husband's dead. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, my dad's like in trouble. And I was just freaking out. And, you know, thankfully it ended well that day. And my dad was listening to Glenn Beck. My dad was a huge Glenn Beck fan at the time. At the time, he's not anymore. And Glenn Beck was just throwing everybody, all the cowboys that were at this Bundy standoff, under the bridge, under the bus.
Under the bus, yeah.
And so my dad actually called him, which was surprising because my dad's kind of antisocial. And he called him and was like, hey, no, let me tell you what happened. And Glenn seemed to be really receptive about it and really open. And Dad's like, oh, good. We set the record straight. Like, we're good now.
Uh-huh.
And then that night, Glenn Beck continues to just throw them all under a bus. And yeah. He's like,
well, I have to tell you, I was, you know, tried and true red, white, and blue myself up until quite a long time ago, about 10 years ago, actually. Just before, right around the Obama first election. A lot of people do know Alex Jones down there in Austin, Texas, mm-hmm. And a lot of people do listen to him. I did for a long, long time, but I just can't anymore. I kind of give the joking little thing, you know, white man speaks with forked tongue, because I believe that's what he does anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can you come out with the film Obama Deception that says this film blows away the left-right paradigm? And then almost every single day back in 2009, 2010, 2008, whatever it was, he would have right-wing Republican candidates on his show on the state level, local level, and the national level. You know, mm-hmm. How can you say that you've blown away the left-right paradigm and then have the right wing on?
But yeah.
Anyways, that's my little rant. I'll let you continue.
No worries. So after Glenn Beck continued throwing, my dad was like, no, I need to set the story straight. And that's when he did his first YouTube video. It was hilarious because my dad goes to us kids and he's like, I need to make a video and put it on that YouTube-y thing. And then we're like, YouTube?
Uh-huh.
And he's like, yeah, I need to make a video. Help me put it on there. And I'm like, okay. And so we help him do this video and upload it to YouTube. And that was his one Cowboys witness of what happened there. And he got dressed up in his Sunday best. He looked so adorable. He was so adorable. And he just told people what really happened. And he did that. And then he realized that he still needed to do more. And that is when he started to look at himself. Like, Clive and Bundy was running into trouble with the feds and BLM because he refused to acknowledge BLM, because it's an unconstitutional entity, and he felt as a matter of principle that he couldn't acknowledge that without, you know, what's that word? Sacrificing his principles or whatever.
Sure.
And so my dad started looking at himself, because my dad has his own ranch, and he was paying the BLM fees, and he was like, well, what kind of man am I? Like, do I not stand on principle? Do I not believe in the Constitution? Am I willing to put my principles and the principle of liberty and freedom above the scariness of, I guess, of going against the BLM? And so that's when my dad wrote a letter and said, I do not acknowledge you. He paid his fees to the state, which is how it's supposed to be done if you go by the Constitution. And then he started keeping track and updating everyone about what was going on. And those were a ton of where his videos came from. And so that covered the expanse of, what, 2 years, two-ish years. And in the time, he got his book published, and he was trying to go around and do it, like, promote his book and at the same time teach about liberty and the Constitution. He would literally talk to everyone. Like, heaven forbid you should get stuck by him on an airplane. He would teach you the entire time. But December came, I called my dad, and this was the last time that I got to speak to him on the phone. December, I think it was Christmas Eve. Yeah, December 24th. I hadn't been able to go home that Christmas, and I was, like, really devastated because I just missed my dad and my family. And I was just talking to him just because I missed him. And I remember him saying, well, you know what, daughter? Texas has a lot of like-minded individuals. Like, you know, if you want to help me, we can set up some book tours, like go to different, like, craft fairs or events and put up a booth so he could sell his book and teach people. And I was like, that sounds amazing. And so he was supposed to come down around January 6th. And so I was super excited because my dad was going to come hang out with me for like 2 weeks. And Christmas comes and goes, New Year's comes and goes. And then I call my mom around January 6th because I'm like, I haven't heard anything. And that's when I find out he's in Oregon. And I'm like, what? That's the wrong way. Texas is in the other direction. Oregon's the wrong way with so many reasons. Like, first of all, it's winter. Who wants to go to Oregon in the winter? It's freezing. Like, my dad's an Arizonian. He's not used to the cold. And so then that's when I started learning about the Hammonds. And I will be honest, I didn't watch his video about the Hammonds and what was going on before this. And so I had no idea who they were, why he was up there. And I was a little miffed because I was like, let them do them. Like, I'm your daughter. Take care of me first. Come down. I was just, you know, I wanted my dad back. And one of the interviews I watched was, I think, by AJ Plus or something, that talked about why the Hammonds really hit home. I think it's Dwight Hammond, the older one, the dad. Dwight Hammond is the same age as my grandpa, as my father's dad. And my dad and my grandpa are like best friends. They did everything together. My grandpa is still fit enough to go on some really rough territory on a horse hold his own.
That's good.
Yeah. And so they were like best friends. They got to spend so much time together. And my dad was thinking about it. Like, in 5 years, he didn't know if his dad would still be able to do that. And Dwight Hammond, he didn't know if Dwight Hammond would still be able to hold his own on his ranch. And his children and grandchildren would miss that. And so it just really hit home for him. And he just couldn't, in good conscience, do nothing. And so he went up there, and I didn't get to talk to him again after that because he was just so busy. There were so many people that wanted to meet him, that wanted to learn from him. And
well, there's been such a hunger for the truth here in America for quite a long time.
Yeah.
The last time we were this close to having some sort of an awakening, September 11th, 2001 happened. And, you know, I'm not going to get into that and your thoughts on that, but, there was a lot of manipulations, a lot of deceptions, and a lot of, things that shouldn't have happened that day. And they did, but it helped turn the tide for them, the elite and the power structure itself. That was a lot of people that were turning towards the truth movement and the freedom movement, and that catalytic event just turned things for them. And now, you know, we're trying to turn things back around, but they're fighting us.
I agree. I think there has been just this thirst for what true freedom and liberty actually is.
Sure.
Because,
I actually heard a startling statistic about 6-7 years ago. I read an article one time that said there was 160 million people worldwide that were looking for alternative views, alternative news, and alternative truth. That was about 7 years ago. I'm sure that number has to be a lot more than what it is now. But
oh yeah, I would agree with you. It's just whether we are looking for it or not, we can feel these chains of oppression slowly tighten around us. Whether we're like good average Joe, straight and narrow, keep our head down, just do what the law says, we can still feel it. And I just feel like naturally individuals are just born with that fire of freedom in them, whether it's been made dormant by the years of education in public schools or propaganda or whatever. It's still there. Like, it is just part of our soul, in my opinion. And so when we have someone like my father stand up, it's like we get, I feel like ignites it, maybe just a little bit at first, but the more that you listen to men like him, it just feeds that flame and you just crave it. You want to be part of that America he talks about. You want to see what it would be like.
I think it makes people feel more alive. I mean, the stuff that I do anyways, it makes me feel more alive. It makes me feel like I'm making a difference. You know, there's another saying, you know, why isn't somebody doing something about this? Why isn't somebody doing something about this? And I come to the realization about somewhere in the middle of 2011 or 2012, somewhere in there, that, I am somebody.
Exactly. I just wish people could grasp that concept all by itself. Like, we feel like we don't really, like, what do we have to contribute? My dad felt the same way. If you watch his videos, you'll hear him many times like, I'm just a simple redneck, you know, I'm just a simple cowboy. Like, I'm just one man. And he would just, you know, I think express all the feelings that we always have as individuals. Like, who am I? Who am I to make a difference? And it's like, if people could take anything away from my dad, it's, I want them to realize how much one person can make a difference. Like, he made a huge difference. I get messages daily about people who are grateful for him, that they opened his eyes, that they finally, for the first time, started caring about politics. And it's like, to me, that's still like crazy. I'm like, really? My dad? Like, I think he's amazing. I think he's my hero, but I'm biased. And so it's like, you don't realize what effect you can have until you actually start trying. And if we all did something and stopped looking for someone else to do it,
yes,
this country would not be this way.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. I think the reason we are having the problems that we're having with this fight is there are too many, well, millions of Americans are still a little bit too comfortable. They're not being affected. They're not being affected by what's going on. So that's why we're having these problems.
Oh, I would agree completely. And I have to tell you, I'm 100% guilty of that. Like, when I would go home to the ranch, my dad would just be teaching us, okay? He would call everyone up and we're all grumbling like, oh, Dad, you think we were still teenagers, but we're all, you know, young parents at this time. We're all adults at this time. And I'm like, oh, Dad, really? Like, can't we just, like, play games? Can't we just go shooting? Like, I don't want to sit here for, like, an hour or two discussion of politics or what fiat money is or why Bush wasn't the best and who knows what that Patriot Act is. Like, it was just so, like, I look back and I'm, like, ashamed of it because it's like I could have learned so much more. And me and my siblings just took for granted that we had him as our father. If we ever needed anything, we would just call up Dad and be like, hey, so who do you think we should vote for?
Uh-huh.
And be like, well, let me tell you. And now that we don't have that, I'm like, how did he find this information? Like, I don't even, like, you can't Google it because Google just gives you the leftist candidates. I have read the Constitution now, but before he died, I hadn't read the Constitution. I didn't know. And I was even guilty of saying, like, okay, Dad, like, I'd call him back. Like, okay, tell me what's going on in the country. And then, like, okay, enough. Let me put my head back in the sand. Like, it was just, as a mom of young children, it was just so scary. Like, I was just like, okay, stop talking. Like, let me be naive, please.
Yeah.
And
I get that from a lot of family and friends.
Yeah, it's scary. And so when I see people who haven't been directly affected by the government's overreach, I am so impressed. Like, those to me are true Americans. Like, my dad was a true American. He stepped out of his comfort zone.
Yep.
My dad had never had a speeding ticket. He'd never been crosswise with any government official.
Yep. And I got to tell you something, Shalice. You know, I don't really know what to say to people, but, you know, what do you tell, well, the woman that gave birth to you or the father, let's just say that has, if you have a dissenting view like I do, I mean, my mother told me one time, if you just hate this country so much, why don't you just leave? You know, I don't know what to say to people like that. Do you? I'm sure you must get that, right? I'm sure you must get that, right?
Yeah. First, for me personally, I have to correct people that I do not hate this country. I love this country and the original intent that it was founded on. What I do hate is corruption. What I do hate is our government going out of its confines and sneaking every little tentacle it can into our lives. That I do hate and that I will fight. And for me, it's just, I guess, for a matter of educating or just figuring out where they're at. One of the things I loved about my dad was he was able to teach people where they were at, which is one of the reasons I think they killed him, because he was changing hearts and educating where many people couldn't. He was able to just teach in a manner that he showed his love for the individuals, for this country, and build upon what they knew. And in a very concise and eloquent way, teach them that their views, because something I run into a lot is people think their views are so different, like that they would never go against the government. Like, that's wrong.
Right.
But it's like, but really, would you stand up if something was wrong? And most people would say yes. And it's like, well, would you stand up for your neighbor if you saw them being bullied and harassed? And it's like,
well, even if it was a cop or a government agency, right?
Yeah, well, still, before you even bring that up, you have to build, in my opinion, upon what they do know. Like, you have to go with their core conscience. And then you say, well, is not the government out of line?
Yeah.
Well, and then they have to make that hard introspection, like, oh.
Well, so many people have this idea that a cop or a federal agent is doing something wrong, doing something illegal, and they say, well, That guy must have had it coming. He must have did something.
Well, we've been programmed to think that.
Sure,
even,
sure.
Even I am still struggling with that because, like, when people are, like, when you see news articles that they're doing it, it's like my initial reaction is like, well, what did they do wrong?
Yeah.
Instead of, well, is the government wrong? And we've been programmed to think that way.
Yep.
And so it's very...
Purposely.
It's very hard.
Purposefully programmed that way, yes.
Yeah, and it's been... It's been almost 4 years since, you know, I learned that the government really is bad.
Like, yeah.
And well, I don't say all forms of government, but it was like almost learning that Santa Claus wasn't real. Like, wait, our government really would assassinate one of its own citizens?
Uh-huh.
Who did nothing wrong? Like,
right. But what do you think, what do you think was the event that made your dad do that? Made your dad question?
Made him question?
Well, made him change his mind that the government was bad.
I think he always had that core knowledge that the government was definitely stepping outside of his of its bounds. But I don't think he actually could.
Okay, so you think it might have been
that until later.
Might have been Bundy? The Bundy siege?
I think Bundy is when he started really trying to articulate that.
Okay.
But I would say before that, like, my dad once upon a time had this dream to go down to Mexico and start, like, a little colony down there because he was sick of the government here.
There are about, I think, 500 of those communities all over the world. Do you know what they're called?
I have, like...
intentional communities. That's what they're called.
Okay. Nice.
They're living outside the system.
Who knew my dad was so forward-thinking?
They're not well, they've been doing this since the 60s and 70s. The, you know, the so-called flower children and the hippies started doing that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
But my mom was dead set against moving to Mexico, so my dad had to find a new dream.
Uh-huh.
But it was during that time that he started reading a ton on government and government policies and stuff like that, because he was really considering it. But the Bundys was definitely his turning point for being more proactive. I remember hearing him once say that if he could redo his life, he would have taken up a life in politics. And
well, it's
we
never,
all should.
It's never too late to for anyone to get into politics or be political.
Yes, I agree. And he definitely showed us that because he did get into it. And
my 82-year-old aunt does it.
Nice.
She's on Facebook doing all this stuff.
It's so awesome to see that, though, because it is so hard to wake up people in general because we have really posh lives, really slavery posh lives, as long as we are willing to just do what we're told and keep our head down.
Yes.
We have a really comfortable life as long as we are sheep.
Well, that's what I mentioned just a few minutes ago. People are still just a little bit too comfortable.
Yes.
And they're not being affected.
And it's like, for the most part, to get people involved, they have to be affected in some way.
Yes.
And then those people who are just involved and not being affected, those are true heroes, in my opinion. Because it's crazy. I don't think I would have gotten involved.
Mine too, yeah.
Unless I had my dad happen. And now how can I not?
Well, yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame it has to happen that way, but... I've said I've been doing this for over 6.5 years now, and I keep saying I think it's going to take some terrible catalytic event to really affect America and the American people.
Sadly, I agree with you for the general masses, and like I feel like one of my missions is to one by one reach individuals so that if something happens and when something happens, more of us will be prepared than if I had done nothing. I don't know when the majority will ever wake up or if they will. And it's, there's so many battles, I guess you could choose right now.
Sure.
That it's like, you have like the abortion battle, you have
hundreds of them.
Gender battle, you have like, it's just insane what you could be standing up for.
Have you ever heard of the term full spectrum dominance?
No.
It's a military term.
Okay.
It's, well, you know, a circle has 360 degrees, correct?
Yeah.
The term full spectrum dominance comes from a military strike. You want to strike on every single degree that you possibly can on the circle. And that's what they're doing to us. They are striking and attacking on all 360 degrees.
That makes complete sense.
Of the spectrum. You know, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of fights out there.
Oh, I didn't even realize how much until like our family started getting active, and then people come to us with their stories and we're like, what? How? Like,
yeah.
How is this happening in our country? Like, America is not America anymore. It's
a fight for money. It's a fight for money.
Well, we're just becoming what our founders came from. Like, my biggest, I guess, quarrel with it is, like, in England, before they came, it was like all the nobles own land. And you didn't. You just either were dirt poor or you lived off their land and paid them to use it. What was that term? Like serf? Not serf.
Serf, yeah. It's serfdom.
Is it serfs?
A serfdom. Yeah. Yeah.
Basically. And it's like, what are we now?
Indentured servitude? Land. Indentured servitude?
Indentured servitude. That's also one. But it's like right now, that's what we are back to. Because people are like, oh, yeah, I own this. And I'm like, do you really?
Yeah, but do you? Really? Yeah. Do you really?
And it's like, and it's so frustrating to me because it's like, right now I'm in that stage of life where, like, you know, I'm considering buying a house. And it gets me so irritated because it's like, I'm going to put so much blood, sweat, and tears into buying this house. And I'm never going to own it. Like, yeah. I'm going to always have to pay someone for it. And it's like,
do you know what you should do, actually? What I try to tell a lot of people, don't get a mortgage. Don't get a mortgage at all. Try to, there are literally thousands of people out there that build their own homes with, whether they're log cabins. I know you might have to do some traveling or something to get the trees to be able to do that. And there's all kinds of stuff, log cabin building kits, the internet, YouTube. Somebody can build a house learning from YouTube. You can learn anything. You can learn absolutely anything from YouTube.
I think YouTube has done more to educate the masses than public school or any collegiate career that you've ever had.
Certainly it has.
I'm like, it's crazy. I've learned more from YouTube than my whole collegiate career.
Well, the saying has been out there for years. You can learn anything off of Google and YouTube.
Mm-hmm. And you truly can.
Yeah.
Except the truth. That one's hard. That one's really hard to figure out.
Well.
Like, I honestly think they purposely muddle the internet with so much, like, crap news stories that it's hard to believe anything.
Well,
it's like, what's crap and what's truth?
I don't believe any of it myself. Yeah.
Like, something big happens on the news and all I think about now is like, what are they trying to hide right now?
Yeah.
What's going on in Congress? Like, did they call a session?
Yeah. You do remember the oil spill down there in the Gulf, right?
Yeah.
2011, whatever it was, I think. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think it's maybe a coincidence. Maybe it's not. 2 months before that oil spill and that oil explosion, Dick Cheney's Halliburton Corporation bought over, what's the guy, the original, his first name was Red, but he's in Texas there. He started Boots and Coots oil rig fire company. Started it back in the 40s or something. John Wayne made a movie about him back in the 60s. But, you know, 2 months before that so-called accident happened, Halliburton bought up that company. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not. I think it's not, but...
I don't believe in coincidences anymore.
Not when it comes to these people, really.
No. I've gotten too cynical in my life to be like, oh, that's coincidence. It's like,
Yeah. You know, I think it was back in the 1930s. President Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, said, when it comes to government and the corporate world, nothing is a coincidence.
I would agree with him. That's probably one of the few things I would agree with him on. But it's, I don't know, the more you learn, the more... The worse it gets. And it's just very, it can be so overwhelming and daunting at times that, like recently, like after my dad died, I got really active because I just was so fed up with the government and I just wasn't going to let them sweep my dad under the rug like they were trying to do.
Right.
Like, what was happening up in Oregon should have been all over the news, but it was quiet.
Yes.
And it's like, just because, you know, if Americans actually knew what happened,
yeah,
this country would not be the same 4 years later. And so, like, I just got so frustrated, and I refused to let them sweep him under the rug.
The same thing, the same thing out there in, South Dakota or North Dakota with the pipeline? That was pretty much silent, too, in the mainstream.
Yeah, it's, yeah. And so, but then it just got so overwhelming. And so, like, in the last 2 years, I've kind of just like I slowed down a lot because I was like, what's the point? What's the point? Like,
yeah,
we literally have on YouTube, we can watch my dad get murdered.
Yes.
And people are still like, no, the government was in the right.
Yeah.
And it's like, you could see it with your own eyes, and yet you still can't understand that that's wrong.
Who took that video, by the way?
That video? That was the government's video. That was their drone. No. Apparently, they put like a flip phone camera on a million-dollar drone.
I mean the one inside the truck. Who?
Shauna Cox.
Okay.
Yeah, that was her cell phone footage.
And who is it? I'm sorry, who is she, though?
She lives out by my family, out there, but she was writing the book in the history on Clive and Bundy. And so she wrote the book, Last Man Standing, I believe.
Okay.
And that's just the history on Clive and Bundy and his ranch and everything. And so she was someone that was just doing tons of research. And the more she found, the more she was like, oh my goodness.
Uh-huh. The rabbit hole goes deep.
Yes. And so she went up to Oregon as well, and she was doing the research up there, and she was just like, oh my gosh. Like, the documents they found were just insane, she said. But
yeah,
I'd like to know what those documents are. But I'm sure she knows, but she's just someone that she found a rabbit hole, researched it, and realized she couldn't be silent about it.
Yeah. Well, I would certainly like to get a hold of her.
Oh. Yeah, she would probably do it. If you just find her, I'll find her on Facebook for you and send it.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
She's great. She's great.
Yeah, that would be great.
What was I saying? I don't even remember.
You were talking about her book, talking about the video.
Oh, yeah. I just, like, Americans can watch the video and still be programmed like, oh no, it was wrong.
Yeah.
Or I love how they like have to like,
well, how many
in the divisive things like, oh, race, if they were black or they were Muslim, like, it would have been so different.
Uh-huh.
And it's just, it's frustrating trying to get people to stop looking at the things like, or the whole debate, well, did he have a gun on him? And it's like, personally, no. I can tell you my dad would have never carried a gun in his pocket. We would have gotten our hides tanned if we had ever done that.
Uh-huh.
My dad would not have done it. And it's like, but if you take out the fact, like, just take that out and be like, say he did irresponsibly have a gun in his pocket, he would have had every right to. But it's like, but people can't get past that. It's like, well, he had a gun, so they had legit reason to shoot him. And it's like, do you not know our laws?
Yeah.
The only time law enforcement can use deadly force is if they've already harmed individuals and they have good enough probable cause that they will harm someone again. My dad had never hurt anyone, and he wasn't going to hurt anyone. And it's like, but we as American people don't know that. We just know, oh, he maybe had a gun, so they had to do that. But it's have you been to Oregon?
Oh, yes, I have. I've been all 40, well, I've been to 46 of the, I'm sorry, 48 of the 50 states. Yeah, I drove a truck for 11 years.
Oh, then yeah, you've probably been all over. But if you look, if you were to go stand in the spot where they had that dead man's roadblock set up, which is illegal in the United States, by the way, but if you would go look, that was, so I went up a year later. I wasn't able to go see my dad when all my sisters went up, and that was awful, but that's a different thing. So a year later at the 1 year event, I was able to go up with my sister Ari and a friend. And we got to go to where my dad was killed. And that was when it really hit me how wrong the government was. Because I think for the year, since my dad died in the 1 year, my brain was still trying to like rationalize it away. Like, there's no way the government could do that. You know, maybe something.
Well,
but I stood there, and not 10 feet away is this huge, long stretch of open highway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they set him up on a blind curve when 10 more feet, you had a good couple miles of long open highway where you could have safely, you know.
Sure.
And it was just like, well, and that was when I realized when I couldn't rationalize our government's actions anymore.
Do you think going there made it real for you? Made it more real?
Hands down. Hands down. Because I was still trying to rationalize it.
Yeah. Just a little side note, a little side story. Once Branch Davidian, David Koresh in Waco.
Yes.
They had been monitoring him for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
He had to drive, I don't know how long it was. I don't remember it. You know, it was a 15, 20 minute drive from the Branch Davidians to his office in Waco. They had been monitoring him for 6 months. They could have pulled him over at any time and arrested him and questioned him and done whatever they want. They chose to make an example out of them people and him. They chose to storm that compound.
Yep. My dad sat out in the sleet and snow with a blue tarp over him, so that they didn't have to kick outdoors. He was right there. If they wanted him,
yep.
He was sitting out there waiting for him.
Yep.
And it's like, I actually just recently was able to go to the Davidian compound up in Waco and hear from one of the child survivors her experience. And that was really neat because it's just like, what? How?
Yeah.
How can the government do this?
Oh, I want... Another side note, not a lot of people actually know this either, but the only four ATF or federal agents that were killed that day in the Waco siege just happened to be former bodyguards of Clinton's, both Clintons. Is that a coincidence?
Yes.
Is that a coincidence?
No. Good gosh.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's like hearing Heather's story of what happened that day just like broke my heart for her, and what happened in Waco was just so sad.
Of course, I mean, they were all demonized too.
Yeah. It's like, and I will be honest, like part of me, like even after my dad was like, well, maybe there was something more going on. But after going and hearing her story, everything, and I was like, no, that's exactly what they did to my dad.
Sure. No, you know, the prostitutes of the media, as a lot of people like to call them, they are prostitutes. They
are.
read what they're given to on a teleprompter. You know, those people were called, terrorists. They were called child molesters. They were called tax evaders. They were called every name in the book.
It's so frustrating. It's just, and we just eat it up like, oh, they were bad. Because yeah. Heaven forbid our government actually do what most governments do.
Yes.
I don't know. It's just, it's almost exhausting to just try to make people see that. Because it's like, if you look back through history, where did the most oppression come from? Hands down.
Government.
The people's own governments. Yeah. Their own governments. And it's like, and yet you want to like think that our government's like our guardian angel. Like,
yeah. You know, the actual number is somewhere between 240 and 280 million people. 280 million people in the last 119 years been murdered by government.
I'm surprised it's not more, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Like, it's just sickening. Like, I've been reading a lot about what's going on in China right now, and it's like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It's just,
you know, even how much of the alternative viewpoints that we're getting out of China is actually true and it is actually factual. How much is that? How much of that is manipulated? How much of that is a deception? Right? Yeah.
It's so sickening. And so I think recently I decided that I was, irregardless of whether I make a difference or not, I decided that I couldn't just let my father's story die. And currently, like, my family is right at the tipping point in our wrongful death suit. I wish I had this legal jargon down.
Uh-huh.
We've basically, all the people that we are taking to court, we've submitted it all, and they've all come back with their denials or rebuttals or whatever, and we have until mid-November to resubmit, and then the judge will decide,
right,
you know, who we're taking to court and who we're not.
Right.
And so we're right there, and it's funny because me and my family, we just had this moment of like, finally, after 4 years, we're finally getting there, and then they come out with this news article like, the civil law case has been dropped, and they totally.
You can't. How can they drop a civil suit?
Well, what they did was they put LaVoy Finicum's, but it was actually Shauna Cox and Ryan Bundy's lawsuit that just got dropped.
I see. Okay.
And so, but they used that to put it under sure. And they put my dad's title on it, and it was like, and they did it on purpose because we had so many people who just took the bait, didn't read the actual article,
right,
just the headline, and were like, oh, we're so sorry. And it just, like, it killed our support. And it was like those low-down, dirty dogs. Like, sure. They know we're this close.
Do you know what that's called?
Close.
Do you know what that's called? There's a term for that. What? It's in the media. That's called poisoning the well.
Well, they're turds. Like, as if this isn't hard enough. Like, but, so we've had to.
That's the same kind. Yeah. That's the same kind of reason why whenever somebody allegedly does something, you know, they show their picture on the news or in the newspapers and with the alleged claim, you know, this guy, so-and-so, Joe Sixpack has murdered his family and he even killed his dog. You know, allegedly, and you know, it's called poisoning the well for a good reason.
And it totally disregards the innocent until proven, like, guilty, yes, until, or innocent until proven guilty.
Yes.
Like, and they do it on purpose.
Sure.
So wrong. It's so wrong, but it's just the norm now, and everyone accepts it as the norm.
Well, I don't want to keep you a long time. We've got about 53 minutes so far, but Do you want to get into something else? Or
No, unless you have any other questions.
I've got tons of questions, but I don't want to keep you here for 3.5 hours. actually, you know. I was really wanting to just get an hour. I mean, you have a life, and are there maybe, like, if you do want to take 2 minutes or something like that and finish off with any kind of thoughts or just anything.
Okay. I probably just have to say this, that if you know who my father is, and if he means something more to you than just some crazy terrorist, that you do as he did and actually stand up for your principles and not just talk, not just be keyboard warriors. Get involved and stand up. And for those of you who are interested in where we're at with our legal battles, you know, you can follow me. You can follow my mom on our LaVoy Finicum page. And we ask that Americans stay tuned, because it isn't until we're all looking in and really keeping check on the government and their justice system that they actually step up and justice happens. But if we don't look and we're turning a blind eye, we won't win. And so we just need people to actually keep their eyes on this justice system, especially as we go forward with this legal battle.
Certainly, certainly. Do you think any other siblings, or maybe even your mother, might consider doing something like this, or any of the?
It's hard for my mom, but she might be able to. Okay. I do have a couple other siblings who would probably be willing, and I could get their numbers to you if you even want to talk to the Waco child survivor. I could probably hook
certainly,
you up with her.
Certainly, or even the Bundys. I've tried to reach out to a lot of them people and had no luck. You were the only one I had any kind of luck with, and I had to.
Stay on it.
Yeah, I sent you that message about a month ago. And then,
really?
Yes, and then I finally went back on one of your posts and happened to mention it. But
yeah, that's how people realize that they have to contact me, because I get so many messages a day that it all just gets lost.
Sure, I'm sure.
Crazy. But yeah, I will message you, and I will see if a couple other siblings will be willing to. I know there's probably for sure my oldest sister, Tara, who just wrote her book. So okay, she'd probably actually like the opportunity to share that.
I'll have to, is there a website you can provide? Actually, you can just provide me with all of the websites, even to your dad's book or any other books or whatever. I wouldn't mind purchasing your dad's book, certainly.
So my sister and my dad's book is all on the One Cowboy Stand for Freedom. My sister wrote it, one, to just share her side of the story, but also to help raise funds for the legal fund. So
sure,
if you wanted to go there, we would so appreciate it. We really would. Everything helps. We are just right there. We're about to start doing depositions. Who knew that cost so much?
Yes. Like, yes. What? Yes.
Another argument for another day, I guess.
Yeah. I did want to leave you with one other thing that hit home when I've heard Alex Jones say it quite a few times. But I said I haven't listened to him in years. But he did say a few times, I heard him say, I really had to look at myself in the mirror and think what I would tell a grandchild that happened to come up to me when I got older. Grandpa or daddy, whatever the case happened to be, what did you do to try to stop what we're dealing with today? And that really hit me, you know? That really hits a lot of people.
It does.
What would you say to somebody, a child, grandchild, or great-grandchild or something, if they happen to ask that question?
I just have to add, that has been one of my biggest frustrations as I've gone across this country and taught about my dad and this country. People saying, well, you know, I would have been there, but like, I have kids still. I have a job. Blah, blah, blah. And it was like my very first speech I did, I just remember getting so frustrated and telling people to stop hiding behind their children.
Yes.
Because one day they will realize exactly what you did and they will look at you with shame.
Yes.
And they will be so frustrated sitting there in their shackles and knowing that you could have done something, but you hid behind them and now they have to do something.
Yes. Or you hid behind your job, or you hid behind your house or whatever the case is. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever it was.
Yeah.
We all seem to hide behind something.
Hide behind something. Most everybody has their head in the sand.
Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you doing something.
Oh, nice. I thank you very much for even returning my message, or I actually thank you for even accepting the friend request on Facebook. I don't know how you popped up, but you did, and I sent it.
Good. I'm glad. That makes me feel good.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Shalice Lee Finicum Huntley. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. You have a great day, all right?
You too.